You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've all heard about Three Waters in the news. It's something that has proven to be a topic of contention for many Kiwis, with conflict between local councils and government and the government in Wellington dominating the news headlines. But there's one thing that I, like many Kiwis, still want to know. What actually is Three Waters? The weight of not being fully informed on everything happening in this country was a heavy burden for me. So I put my investigative journalist pants on and jumped straight into the first page of Google. Our guides for this journey will be Whanganui Mayor Hamish McDougall and Waitakere Ward Councillor Shane Henderson. They'll be taking us through what Three Waters actually is and highlighting the controversy around it. So let's dive into Three Waters. The three waters in question are drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater, and the government is attempting to centralise their upkeep to ensure that they're safe for the future. This comes after the revelation that New Zealand's water infrastructure is very out of date, following the Havelock North tragedy, where 5,500 people got sick and 4 died due to contaminated water. The government has suggested that $120 billion is needed to fix it, and local councils can't afford this. The Department of Internal Affairs announced reforms in 2021. Councillor Shane Henderson explained to me what these reforms are and why we needed them.
So the three waters, so we'll talk about what three waters actually is. It's drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater, right? And that's currently run and governed by 78 local, regional, and unitary councils across New Zealand, so actually local government. 78 of them, with different challenges, different populations, different sort of revenue bases, access to debt, that kind of stuff. So what the proposal is it's going to then be 4 new sort of, it's like water care for Auckland. We're familiar with how water care operates. Well, it's 4 new water care-like entities to cover the whole of New Zealand and essentially govern that drinking water and the other two, stormwater, wastewater. The other thing that's really important is it's financially separate from councils. They can borrow to actually fund long-term infrastructure, because that's kind of what's driving that, is that, you know, all across the country, a lot of investment is needed, and it's very hard for local councils to actually invest in that. So just last point on this is there'll be oversight by local government, but also Mana Whenua and a co-governance arrangement. But the water assets will stay in public ownership, and recent changes have made it very clear that that is the expectation going forward.
While local governments initially supported the reforms, several councils chose to opt out, giving the government control of their water infrastructure. This has led to somewhat of a conflict between the government and local councils, with many of us wondering, what's the big hoopla? We've seen protests, political arguments, and plenty of news about opposition. So I asked Mayor Hamish McDougall why there was so much opposition actually taking place. When the reforms were first announced, it seemed like a lot of councils were on board with it, but then a lot started opting out of joining in on the reforms. Then there's been quite a bit of conflict surrounding it. Why has there been so much conflict surrounding these reforms?
Well, first of all, you're right. There was a change. I think everybody understands that safe, reliable drinking water and wastewater that doesn't go into our environment, and stormwater that's successfully manoeuvred rather than going into our waterways, that's important for our communities and our environment. And I think the whole sector, even those who say they're against it, actually agree with the need for reform. Because there's been underinvestment right throughout New Zealand by councils over time, and often it's political. My father used to be on council 25 years ago, and he used to say, there's no votes in pipes. And you can see that there are councils right throughout the country who haven't put the money in, and pipes are failing, wastewater's going into lakes and rivers and the sea. And over a million people, I think, have been under boil water notices in the last few years. So you can see the need. It's just there are numerous concerns. One is that, you know, if you amalgamate them into entities, councils lose ownership, and it makes it easier for a future government to privatise water. Now, I don't think anyone wants privatisation of water. But that's an understandable fear. The second thing is that, you know, if you're in a rural council or a provincial council, you'll be last in the food chain, and if a pipe breaks in a small rural community outside the primary school, how long is it going to take for somebody to come and fix it? Because at the moment, councils are responsible and responsive. The third thing is the sense of losing ownership of it and losing connection with the community.
However, Shane Hennison believes that the reforms are a great opportunity that local councils need to take up to improve the lives of their citizens, and that a lot of the conflict
the government first released really that.
But what I think is really important as well is we've got to put the case for why these reforms are actually happening. And goodness, I mean, Wellington's a really good example. Well, so Wellington needs $120 to $185 billion needed over 30 years to maintain and upgrade their water infrastructure. That would be a massive cost to Wellington's ratepayers. They would have to fork out for that, and it'd be huge. By setting this up in a different way financially, it's going to keep water bills down for example, the people of Wellington. And you can replicate that example all across New Zealand.
The government released a controversial advertising campaign to outline to the public what the reforms would actually be about. However, to many, the ads came across as uninformative and made it seem like the country's local boards were failing. Hamish McDowell believes that the misinformation conveyed through these ads on and online by pro and anti-reform groups is responsible for a lot of the conflict and disagreement.
The government first released their advertising campaign. People were saying, you know, it's misinformation. Do you think that sort of added to the flames?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I think the government did not do a good job explaining the rationale behind the reforms, and the cartoons that were on TV were patronising and you know, marginalised. A lot of local government have done a lot of good work over many, many years. So I think also there's been a misinterpretation of the heads of agreement that Local Government New Zealand signed with central government, which people are saying, oh, it gagged Local Government New Zealand. No, it didn't. It acknowledged that central government can always mandate things, that they are the peak body in town, they're the executive branch. And they did, which was disappointing, I've got to say. It was right in the middle of kind of consultation and engagement with the community. But equally, I understand the government have got a majority at the moment and want to get reforms through. But nevertheless, it didn't smell right. Just mandating it in the middle of the engagement process.
He also believes that racist undertones are responsible for a lot of the conflict as well.
But I think, and I'll be frank here, I think there's a racist element to some of the opposition. Some, I'm not saying all by any means, but you look at that horrific cartoon from down in Greymouth the other day. There's a fear that the ownership is being transferred to iwi Māori. That's just not happening. That's a complete misunderstanding there's never even been suggested.
So that's the fuss about Three Waters. The government entities are expected to start providing water services by 2024. The story is still developing, with new updates every day, so this is a hot-button issue and will definitely change over the coming months. So, make sure you keep an eye on it and stay informed.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.